joining us now is the guy who's written this brand new book, Elvis, Unknown Stories Behind the Legend. Here's this guy, Jim Curtin. Hello, Jim.
How are you?
Hey, my friend.
Fascinating stories in that book, Jim.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, we love the book. Thank you for being on the show. If you don't mind, let me just ask you about some stuff that we've noticed in here. Maybe you could paraphrase some of your best stuff in this book.
Okay.
Let me see. We've already talked.
I have some stories already picked.
Well, why don't you let me pick them? How about we talk about, we already talked about Elvis's nude statues.
Yeah, we already painted them cobalt blue.
Talked about Elvis's ass blisters.
Mm-hmm.
What about, here's the one you're famous for. He got a lot of publicity. Elvis's stinky feet.
Yeah, his foot odor, that was something we, you know, all the years we've been talking about Elvis on this show, we never knew about the foot odor. How did that story come your way?
Well, back in the 1950s, before Elvis Presley became the king of rock and roll, he used to go on tour with Scotty Moore and Bill Black, and while they were touring the country, you know, all of them were basically poor. They didn't even have any money to barely eat, not long, you know, get their socks washed. Well, Elvis used to, you know, wear the socks for weeks at a time. And what he would do is he would build up all the socks and put them in a suitcase. And after about maybe 2, 3, 4 weeks of touring, Elvis would take them back home and give the suitcase to his mom. And the stench was so powerful that Gladys had to wear like a kerchief around her nose.
Wow.
After this happened a few times, Gladys got upset and threw the suitcase in the trash.
Because the suitcase was just reeking?
Yeah, she couldn't tolerate the odor anymore.
All right, let me ask you about another one in your book here. How about Elvis Buys Love in 1966? Where he's got his brother-in-law, his stepbrother up there in his room. One time in 1966, Elvis was in extremely good mood while hosting a party at Graceland.
Okay, stepbrother.
He had his entourage and friends bring girlfriends to the party, and those girls were instructed to bring their girlfriends.
Yeah, I can't recall the story right now. I can't recall that story right now.
Oh. Did you write the book?
That's why I'm sorry, what? Well, there was another party I could tell you about.
Is there some committee there that's coaching you on this, or what's going on? We heard you. Get the stepbrother story for me.
No, let me tell you what's going on. See, I'm going through 3,000 stories, and I'm making 5 volumes.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, all right.
And I haven't seen that book for over a year.
Is there anything that's super good that you haven't written yet?
Oh, sure. Yeah, there's a lot of things.
Can you give us a tidbit? Can you give us a little sneak preview?
I'd rather not, you know, like Elvis always said, you know, that I don't want to tell you too much. You'll have to come and see the show. Well, I feel the same way about my book.
Oh, listen, Jim, I'm positive. We'll sell some books for you today on the show.
But I can tell you a couple of stories that I have, you know, recalled in my memory bank.
Okay.
There's a story about Elvis on the set of Fun in Acapulco. During that trapeze segment. It was the very last piece that was being filmed that day, and that was to complete the film. Well, Elvis was wearing leotards. He told his bodyguards to take his wardrobe home. This is the last day of shooting.
Right.
So after he shot the trapeze segment, he went back to his dressing room, and the phone rang. And here it was Hal Wallace. He says, listen, we need some photographs taken of you for publicity purposes. You got to come back in. All of a sudden, Elvis panics, and he calls one of his bodyguards. He says, listen, you got to bring my clothes back, TCB. That means lightning fast.
TCB.
Right. So what he did is he jumped into Elvis's car. He flew back home to go get Elvis's wardrobe, and in the process of it, he ran over and killed a gardener who was taking care of the famous people's homes.
Wow. Now that's one. That's one we had not heard before.
And
Joe.
Elvis was devastated over it, and it took him years to get over it. He always felt the blame because of that situation.
Because the guy that was going to get his clothes ran over the gardener.
Yeah, he was right. Exactly. He was sued for $300,000.
Oh my God.
Faded.
Wow. You never heard about this.
Hey, listen, off the top of your head, let me ask you, I've got a whole bunch here that maybe you can pick one that you can remember something about, okay?
I have about 36 picked here myself.
Okay, well, let's see if we match up on any of these.
All right.
We're fascinated with a story about Hamburger James. Got anything about him?
Hamburger James?
Yeah, James Caldwell? Or that's not his name, is it?
What's his name?
Well, he's the guy that stole the TCB ring, one of Elvis's rings.
Oh, he stole one of his rings.
Yes.
We heard the story about him going to the airport and stealing money from the kid.
And Elvis picked up a coffee table and was going to bash him in the head with it, but then he thought different and he just started crying.
Well, he found out that he stole the ring, and he went to the airport to go after him. He stopped the plane. Elvis stopped the plane, and he got a hold of him, and he got his ring back.
Wow. All right, what about Scatter the Monkey? We've heard lots about...
Scatter the Monkey was unbelievable. This monkey was not only an alcoholic, but he was a womanizer. He, at all the parties, he used to go around lifting up all the skirts. And, the guests used to have all their glasses, around the tables and everything, and Scatter would go around drinking all the leftover alcohol that was in the glasses, and by the end of the evening, he was cockeyed drunk. He also used to walk around with a big giant cigar and a little jacket on, like Colonel Parker. And Elvis used to roar with laughter because of this mimic. He could not believe that Scatter was, mimicking Colonel Parker. It was just unbelievable.
Now, what is your connection to Elvis, and how do you have all these? How have you gone about getting these stories? I mean, were you close to anybody that's part of the Memphis Mafia?
I was close to Elvis. I was very fortunate, close to Elvis. I was close to Uncle Fester, Ed Parker.
Uncle Fester?
Yeah, Uncle Fester.
Oh, I thought you meant Adam
Fester Presley.
And how long were you?
Just recently passed away, by the way.
Were you in the entourage?
Not in the entourage, but I knew everybody in the entourage.
Okay.
I used to, go down there just like a fan in back in the 1960s, just like everybody else, trying to get a glimpse of Elvis. And I used to hang out at the gates and get to talk to all the uncles and the aunts and the neighbors and the friends and everything. And every time I heard a story, I was, one of the biggest Elvis Presley fans around. What I would do is I would jot it down, stick it in my wallet, and just, keep it. And before you know it, after 22, 23 years, I had a whole trunk of stories, facts, and information on Elvis.
Well,
so we decided to finally break it up and make a series.
The name of Jim's book is Elvis, Unknown Stories Behind the Legend, and there's all kinds of great stuff. Let me just give you one thing here. We've all heard about Elvis shooting at the TV, and we've heard about that it was supposedly Robert Goulet, but you have an exchange in here that cracks me up. Do you want to research that one? Do you have that one nearby? About the hemorrhoid commercial?
The hemorrhoid commercial.
Listen, one day in 1974, Elvis was at home.
Yeah, Elvis was at home, and Elvis had a real touchy stomach. Any little thing annoyed Elvis. He was just funny that way. He was very, fussy.
Right.
He couldn't handle any type of disgusting things. And one day he was eating, watching TV, and there was a hemorrhoid commercial. And he was so aggravated over it, he's eating over here, and they're over there pushing the hemorrhoids, on TV. So he got his gun out, and he shot it.
Shot the TV?
Listen to the detail that Jim has here. What Jim just said, he didn't like the hemorrhoid commercial. The advertisers had an actor talking about pain, itching, and swelling. Elvis could not continue eating. He threw his cheeseburger and the glass of milk at the TV and yelled, "Rub that on your ass, you son of a bitch." He picked up one of his guns and shot a bullet right through the TV.
Oh, right. I'm trying to keep it clean, I don't want to use any profanity because I do represent Elvis. I can't, But you're right.
What do you mean represent Elvis?
I really was.
What do you mean by that you represent Elvis?
Well, I mean, he's gone. He can't speak for himself now.
Right.
And, as much as I loved Elvis, I still, in a way, have to represent his voice now. And in doing so, I'm going to tell it like it is, and I'm going to tell the truth about everything. And I'm also going to uphold Elvis's image as much as possible.
Well...
If you notice, there's no drug stories in my book.
Well, yeah, Charlie, it's interesting because, there's so many
stories.
Hold on,
here's our producer running in.
There's a phone call you should take on hold there.
On
okay.
hold?
Remember I told you someone I called earlier in the day?
I had no idea. What are you talking about?
She called back.
Okay. All right, hold on a second.
All right.
Oh, really?
Hold on a second.
Jim, hold on a second.
Okay.
A big thrill for us now. Now I remember. Thank you, Charlie. Joining us for the first time ever, Christopher, Christina, damn it. Christina Crawford.
Hey, Christina Crawford, thanks for coming on the show.
My brother's name is Christopher, so I have been called not Christopher but Chris.
Christina.
Christina, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I'm just very excited to have you on the telephone, Christina.
Thank you. This is I run a farm and a country inn in North Idaho, and I just came in from working outside to collect my messages, and there you are, and here we are together.
Yay.
Oh, here she is.
I don't ask much from you.
Girl.
Oh, yeah.
Why can't you give
me
the respect that I'm entitled to?
And then here you are.
Yes, and here I am.
Oh, why can't you treat me?
I thought this was about Elvis Presley.
Oh, it is. I'm just playing you, though.
On the street!
We just want, it's our favorite Mommy Dearest thing.
I am not one of your fans!
All right. We applaud the movie. Anywhere near close to reality, that little scene there?
No.
Okay.
It isn't. But Diana Scarwood, I thought, did a very good job. And the 20th anniversary edition of Mommy Dearest is out. It is available only on the Internet. It's on Amazon.com, and there's a Mommy Dearest website, so check it out.
Beautiful. We will. Listen, Christina, so glad you called us. Can you tell us about your relationship with Elvis?
Well, I was very fortunate to do one film with Elvis, and it was right immediately after he returned from the Army, and he was doing this film at 20th Century Fox Studios. I had been called by Fox to do a screen test. I was 21 years old, and I was thrilled. I was a young actress. I was working in New York. I had done a lot of theater, and I had done one film, and that was the extent of my career in the previous two or three years. So I was sent to Los Angeles. I was living in New York. I was sent to Los Angeles. I did a screen test. I had no idea for what picture or whatever. They gave me a contract. In those days, they still had the contract system. And needless to say, I was thrilled with just the contract with 20th Century Fox. It was a huge step for me in my career. And then they told me that they wanted me to do this film with Elvis Presley. Well, I just about fainted, as you can well imagine.
Sure.
And of course, all my friends thought that I had ascended to heaven. Anyway, I worked on the film from November of 1960 to early 1961, which meant that the holidays happened during the time that we were shooting the picture. And Elvis had a rented house in Bel Air, and he had a lot of his buddies from the Army with him, and he gave these wonderful parties. They were small parties. They were not lavish, and they were very casual, and they were basically just for us kids that were all on the picture. I mean, we were kind of all kids together.
Hey, Christina, what about when Elvis called you a bitch and threw a drink in your face?
Well, that was accidental, actually. There was a misunderstanding, and I don't think it was intended for me, actually, but that's what happened. And
he really did do that, though? He really did call you a bitch, and he threw a drink?
Well, I don't remember that he called me a bitch. Elvis was a very, very religious person, as anybody who knew him knows. And basically, his great mentor and idol was Mahalia Jackson. He sang gospel beautifully, and this was...
Never thought I'd be bored by Christina Crawford.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ, I am.
That sometimes happen.
No wonder
Ron
yelled.
I beg your pardon?
No, excuse me.
What?
Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on a second, Christina. Hold on. Buzz, I forgot your microphone is the only microphone that was not keyed.
Thought I was safe.
She couldn't hear you. Hey, Jim?
Yes.
Jim, listen, we still have Christina Crawford on the other line.
Yes, I met her mother back in 1968 at John Wanamaker's in Philadelphia.
Now, what Jim writes in the book is that Elvis did call her an unflattering name. He grabbed her by the hair,
mm-hmm.
pulled her across the coffee table, and threw her out of the house, and then later to make it okay, Elvis set up a couple of cases of Coca-Cola. Right?
Well, we got to find this out.
That's about right.
You standing by that story, Jim?
I stand behind it.
Okay.
To at least a 90% degree.
All right, hold on a second. Hey, Christina, I apologize for that. Christina?
Hello?
Christina?
Oh, dear.
All right, well.
She's gone.
Nice going, Buzz.
I'm sorry.
I'm kidding you, Buzz. I'm absolutely...
Hey, no great loss.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. What a bore she was. Jim, listen, sorry I broke into your valuable interview time.
Yeah, we were getting some interesting details about the King of Rock and Roll.
So, Jim, what do you know about that?
Well, I got a great story for you if you want to hear it.
Sure.
Around 1975, when Elvis was dating Linda Thompson, Linda Thompson was starting to become very irritable about the bodyguards always being around. Elvis could never go anywhere without the bodyguards. So one day she convinced Elvis, listen, Elvis, it's all in your mind. Let's go out without the bodyguards. So they went to a local McDonald's down the street.
Yeah.
And while they were there, they got served. They went to their table. They started eating their hamburgers and French fries. All of a sudden, this guy comes in, a stranger. He goes over to Elvis and he says, hey, you, I can't stand people that are trying to look like Elvis Presley. There's only one king of rock and roll. Give it up. So Elvis is like stunned. He can't believe the whole thing. And he says to Linda, tell him who I am. He says to the guy, I am Elvis Presley. I really am. I'm Elvis Presley. So Linda says, come on, Bob, cut it out. Cut the crap out. Right?
Oh, so
and,
she's playing along,
you know, she kept that going the whole time the stranger was there. So finally he left believing that Elvis was an impersonator.
I wouldn't categorize that as a great story, but it was a good story. Listen, Jim, you're a good sport to come on our show. We are going to continue to plug your book called Elvis Unknown Stories Behind the Legend by Jim Curtin.
Yeah.
With Renata Ginter.
Even though Jim kind of writes flowery stuff because he's still one of these Elvis lovers, he's got a whole bunch of the good stuff that we love about Elvis in there.
Lots of interesting stories, really, that nobody's ever known about, and we thought we knew everything about Elvis.
Thank you for coming on our show, Jim.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, now that we've shaken the two ankle weights, Jesus Christ.
God. Well, that's too bad about Christina Crawford.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we were trying to get some of the... But first of all, the story about... I thought it would take 3 hours to get to the story about her, you know, meeting Elvis.
And listen, I'm now reading in another one of our Elvis reference materials about Christina Crawford. Same story.
Yeah.
All right, Jim Curtin writes that Elvis called her a bitch and pulled her by the hair.
Right.
And here's what it says in the book Elvis, Aaron Presley. Christina Crawford came up to the house one night to see Joe Esposito. Elvis was smoking cigars, and every time he'd take one out, Joe would light it for him. Christina would reach out and grab it and break it. Elvis said, don't do that. That's not funny. So he picked up another one, and Joe went to light it again. She broke it again. Elvis said, I've asked you nicely. She said, he shouldn't have to light your cigars. Elvis said, look, he works for me, goddammit, and he knows when I get a cigar to light it for me. She did it a third time, and boy, oh boy, Elvis got mad. They got into a barrage of words. Elvis said, look, you bitch, and Christina threw a drink in his face. He stopped a minute, and he said, I'm going to eliminate this problem. He got up and stepped on top of his 5x6 marble coffee table and grabbed her by her ponytail and dragged her across the goddamn room.
Ooh.
He kicked her in the ass as she was going out the door.
Wow.
It wasn't but a short time later she came back up and apologized. She said the reason she'd done it is because she resented seeing her mother treat everybody who worked for her the same way.
Man, oh man, that's interesting. Well, we were trying to get to that. I would have liked to hear more about it.
Well, I don't think we'll ever have her on the show again.
No. How about that author? Is he coming back anytime soon?
I hope not, but I mean, he had some good stuff in his book, but he's another one of these guys that wants to talk about how much he loves Elvis.
Yeah, he's another one of these people that wants to talk out of both sides of his mouth.
At the same time, he's written, you know, about Elvis's ass blisters and everything, but he loves Elvis Presley.
And we always seem to get into it because we do have a problem with people that want to have it both ways.
This is the Don and Mike Show.